You know, I was just interviewing somebody a couple weeks ago who has been working on environmental issues since the 1970s in his case. And he said he used to believe that humans couldn't kill everything on the planet, but now he is concerned for the creatures who live at the bottom of the Marianas Trench. So previously we did a This Is Your Brain on the End of Empire and talked about some of the common ways that people act as empires collapse. And I've been thinking about that a lot, and I've been thinking also about Isaac Asimov's Foundation trilogy, and I've also been thinking about several of the people I've interviewed lately. And I've interviewed several people who have been working on these issues since the 60s and 70s. And they've all said the same thing, which is that things are, of course, infinitely worse than they were when they began doing their work. And they were questioning their efficacy. And I'm going to tie in Isaac Asimov's Foundation Trilogy. In Isaac Asimov's Foundation Trilogy, he discusses something he calls psychohistory. And I read the book when I was like 10, 11, 12. And this is really the one thing I remember at this point, which is it's almost impossible to predict the behavior of one person. And it can become a little bit easier to predict the behavior of 10 people. If you have one person, you don't know if they're going to eat or not. They could decide to go on a diet. They could decide to go on a fast. They could decide to become a glutton. If you have 10 people, random people, the chances are pretty good that not all 10 of them are going to enter a fast the same day. And if you have 1,000 people, you can start making predictions as to what will be their caloric intake for the day. And if you have 1,000,000 people, you can predict it much more precisely. And his point was that the larger number of people you have, the more accurately you can predict their behavior. And William R. Catton, who wrote the book Overshoot, which is a fabulous book, in there he talked about how if you have large numbers of people just living their lives, collectively they can assemble what he called a fate, where their behavior can come to seem almost preordained. And this, again, is not true on an individual level, where I can choose to do this or I can choose to do that. And societies, okay, we're going to jump another direction. And Peggy Reeve Sanday, the anthropologist, talked about why some cultures are high rape cultures and some cultures are low rape cultures. And if a culture is highly militarized, it probably has a higher rate of rape. And if it has a male creator deity as opposed to a female or couple deity, it's probably a higher rate of rape. And she has 5 or 6 or 7 characteristics. And one of them is if there's a history of ecological dislocation in the last several hundred years, and I've mentioned this before, and one of the things that says to me is when a culture gets stressed, men take it out on women. Another thing that says to me is, talks about a history of ecological dislocation in the last several hundred years. The other thing that says to me is that it takes several hundred years for a culture to metabolize trauma and to change. And just last night, I was watching a BBC mystery with my mom. And one of the central plot points was that the female detective, it was a cop show, the female detective had been sexually assaulted when she was 13, repeatedly sexually assaulted by, a friend of the family. And there is a fairly moving speech she does toward the end of the show where she is, revealing this to her husband. I'm going to ruin a plot thing, but she's also pregnant with another man's baby. And he doesn't know this until this reveal in the scene. And as she's talking about having been sexually assaulted when she was 13, she says, "Why do you think I've ruined every relationship I've touched since then? Why do you think that I have destroyed everything? I cannot be in an intimate relationship. I destroy everything." And he says, "Well, you got me. You haven't destroyed this relationship." And then she says, "Well, I've got something to tell you." And my point is that, yes, we can make choices, and individuals who have been assaulted, who've been sexually abused, who've been held in captivity, can choose to live differently and can work very hard to do so. But let's go back to psychohistory. And if you have a million of them, most of them aren't going to do that work. So what's the point of all this? The point is that of course I'm not going to quit doing the work I do, but I'm feeling pretty discouraged right now just thinking about the momentum of the culture and thinking about how you have billions of people who have bought into capitalism, or at least a billion, or at least a half a billion of the people in the industrialized nations who have bought into capitalism, who bought into civilization, and who have bought into human supremacism. And individuals can decolonize. You know, this is why I wrote Endgame, because I don't believe there will be a voluntary transformation to a sane, sustainable way of living. And so my best hope and my allegiance and my loyalty has always been to the natural world and to the Delta Smelt, the Marianas Trench, the Coho Salmon, the Selkirk Caribou. And people don't change fast enough for this culture to stop killing the planet. And I mean, look at the response to global warming. For God's sake, the response to global warming is not to deindustrialize, to reforest, to restore prairies, to restore wetlands, to restore mangroves. It's to continue with the deforestation, to continue with the destruction of the natural world, and to create more industrial products that are in no way helping even lower emissions. And, you know, there's a thing going around Facebook right now that everybody's so excited. A lot of people are so excited because Sweden is incinerating trash, and this is considered green. And I have been around long enough to know that 20 years ago, it was only 20 years ago, that incinerators were recognized for the horrors that they are. And I mean, who thinks it's a good idea to pump oil out of the ground, to make plastic, and then to burn this plastic, and to use that energy to, I don't know, run more oil wells? And this is called green these days. And this takes us back again to Endgame, that within this construct of this human supremacist construct, this construct that machines are more valuable than life, this construct that this culture is more important than life on the planet. I mean, there is no hope for significant change, certainly not in the time required, which is why I brought up Peggy Reeve Sanday, that real change takes generations. And the planet doesn't have generations, which is why, you know, I was just interviewing somebody a couple weeks ago who has been working on environmental issues since the 1960s, 1970s in his case. And he said he used to believe that humans couldn't kill everything on the planet, but now he is concerned for the creatures who live at the bottom of the Marianas Trench. And most of the serious environmentalists I know feel the same thing. There is a certain fate that this culture has created. From the beginning, it has been about destroying the world. That's what the biblical story of heaven is about, is the destruction of this earth and the arrival of heaven, which is stasis, because no one ever dies. And it's been staring us in the face for thousands of years. We know what the end of a linear culture is, beginning, middle, end, as opposed to a cyclical culture. And, you know, a joke I've told for decades now is, they say that one sign of intelligence is the ability to recognize patterns. And I'm going to lay out a pattern. Let's see if we can recognize it in less than 6,000 years. And the pattern, of course, is that the, you know, everywhere, forests precede us and deserts dog our heels. And again, it is possible to change. I was just talking to my mom today about how in my 20s, I was too scared to write, and I made a choice. I recognized I had a choice, which was I could go the rest of my life with the best excuse in the world for not being a writer, which is that I was abused and I was too scared to be able to do it. Or I could do what it took to become a writer, and I made that latter choice. But it was really hard work. Not just the hard work of becoming a writer, but also a dozen years of therapy to try to change the path I was on. And one day when I was in therapy, my therapist asked me if there was anything I didn't like about him and the way he was handling therapy. And I'm like, no, it's all good. And then I turned the question around and I said, is there anything that's made you uncomfortable? And he said, honestly, there was at the beginning. He said, you were working so hard in therapy that I thought you were faking it. And I thought you were doing this just to be the good son, that you were trying to, do this so you'd win my approval. And I just looked at him and I said, so wait, are you telling me that most of the people who come to therapy don't really want to change? And he said, that's exactly what I'm telling you. And I said, well, why? And I got off cheap. I was paying him $25 an hour. And I said, why would I pay you $25 an hour and then not do the work? And he said, well, honestly, most people come in because either their work mandates it or their romantic partner says, I'm going to leave you if you don't get therapy. And so they go in and they waste time. And they pretend to do things, but they don't. And that's the people who even get into therapy in the first place. So my point is that was hard work that most people aren't going to do. And let's jump back to psychohistory. And when you have a culture that rewards you for not doing it, that rewards you for having this sort of, if you have a culture that rewards you for not perceiving the beingness of non-humans, then most people aren't going to do it. Which takes us back to Endgame, that, you know, it's kind of pathetic that at this point, the reason that I want to bring down civilization is not because that will make humans into better people, because what will make humans into better people is generation after generation of changing the stories. That's the only way it will take place, is after hundreds of years. But what I want to do is to make it so at least they can't destroy the middle of the ocean.